Good day, everyone. Welcome to a very special audio interview on bullmarketrun.com. I'm John Hallstein. It is my great pleasure and honor to introduce a fascinating guest. He is unquestionably one of Britain's most astute investors with a particular interest in mining stocks and the gold market. He has been an extremely successful entrepreneur and first became well known for writing a very popular investment column in the Sunday Telegraph back in the early 1960s. He is author of many books, including a bestseller, The Zulu Principle, and other great pieces of work such as How to Become a Millionaire, which he co-wrote with Tom Stevenson. He is currently deputy chairman of Agrifirma Services Limited, which advises Agrifirma Brazil, an agricultural company based in Brazil, in which he has a substantial investment. In September of last year, he spearheaded the launching of a junior mining fund, which invests predominantly in smaller mining companies, which have the potential of becoming the giants of tomorrow. One of those companies is very familiar to Bull Market Run readers, Gold Bullion Development Corporation. I could go on and on about this gentleman's credentials. He knows how to make money. He has made a lot of it during his lifetime. He has a tremendous feel for the market. Joining me on the line from London, England, it is my great pleasure to introduce Mr. Jim Slater. Good afternoon, Jim.
Hi there.
On behalf of the Bull Market Run team and our many readers and listeners, we greatly appreciate you joining us here today to share with us your investment wisdom. Jim, there are many areas I would like to cover with you, including, of course, your views on gold right now, the growing impact of China, currencies, the sovereign debt issue, your macroeconomic view, and, of course, some of your favorite junior mining stocks, including Gold Bullion Development, Spanish Mountain, and some others. But first off, what do you think separates a successful investor from an unsuccessful investor? What are some of the key qualities, Jim, and ingredients of a really successful investor such as yourself?
Well, first of all, I think they've got to be pretty dedicated and allocate quite a lot of their time to doing it. No good. There's no free lunches. Secondly, and very importantly, you have to focus. The book I wrote called The Zulu Principle makes the point about focus. I take the analogy of my wife, who used to read Reader's Digest, still does actually, and might have read a four-page article on Zulus, and then she asked me a few questions, and I realized she knew a lot more than I did. I then extrapolated this idea, and I thought, well, if she'd gone to the local library and borrowed, let's say, three books on Zulus, which are probably all they'd have, and read them, she'd be the leading expert in the south of England. If she'd then gone and lived on a Zulu kraal for 6 months and studied at Johannesburg University for another six, she'd be a leading expert in the world. And my approach to investment is to know an awful lot about very little. In other words, I focus on a very few shares and get to know more than anyone else about them. It's a question of arbitrage. You're arbitraging other people's knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing is focus. And the second thing, a very important thing, is method. Now, for example, if I'm going to buy, let's just take an ordinary growth share, I would have in some criteria that I use. First of all, I'd rather have a share that's got a high growth rate than a low one. Secondly, I'd rather it be on a low multiple in relation to the growth rate. So, for example, I'd like it to be on a multiple of 10 if it's growing at 20%, not the other way around. Thirdly, to avoid an Enron, I want to make sure the cash flow is in excess of earnings per share. I also want to make sure it's got a sound balance sheet. I also want to make sure the directors are not selling in a cluster. So I've got a method, and the beauty of having a method is that you can refine and temper it. So as you make mistakes, let's say, and you do, you can say, I won't do that again, and you gradually get your method so it's really effective. And that has worked for me extremely well. There's one other very important ingredient, and that is to cut losses and run profits. Most people do the opposite. They don't want to recognize a loss. They hug it to them, and therefore they end up with big ones. They can't believe their luck when they've got a profit, and they snatch it, and therefore they end up with small profits. You have to do exactly the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. Which is to some extent against human nature. I don't find it against it, but some people do.
Mm-hmm.
So they're my three things: focus, method, and cutting losses and running profits.
Besides the mistake of not letting profits run and not selling a stock quicker than they should when it goes the wrong way on them, cutting your losses short. Besides that, what are some of the other key mistakes you think investors make?
Well, I think they invest too much in one thing. In other words, they don't have a sensible spread. Because I think the important thing for an investor is to have one's own psychology right, so you don't let the market or the reactions of individual shares bug you. So I think once you've got your... When you're constructing your portfolio, I mean, my portfolio is always based on criteria. It isn't based on a bit in retail, a bit in this, and a bit in that. That's a nonsense, I think. I like to, for example, if I'm investing in gold shares in general, I want and I'll go into that in more detail later, a gold share that's increasing production. As a highly prospective deposit, which is open in all directions, including depth. And, in other words, things that are going to make the shares go up. And I don't really mind if I end up with two or three things in the same sector. Mm-hmm. It doesn't worry me at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know from my own experience, Jim, that to begin to accumulate wealth and become more successful financially, and I do have a very, very long way to go before catching up to you. Most people do. But I know I had to change my views regarding money, how to handle it and treat it with respect. How do you think about money, Jim, and do you believe everyone has the potential to make a lot of money?
I do think so. If they, I can only say if they get their act together. I mean, you're not going to make a lot of money in investment unless you put the time and effort into it. There's a lot of books that have to be read. There's a lot of broker circulars on a day-by-day basis, newspapers, and that kind of thing. And work at working at a method. It's I remember it's a bit like golf in a way. Not that I play very much nowadays, but it's there's a famous expression of Gary Player. He said, "The harder I practice, the luckier I get." And I think you've just got to keep working at it. And that's why I like a system and a method. Because my method, for example, I did write publicly in the 60s in the Sunday Telegraph, mm-hmm. and I had a column under the name of Capitalist. Mm-hmm. 2 years, and that went up 68.9% against the market's 3.6. I then, in the 90s, had a column in the Mail on Sunday for 27 months, and once a month I wrote about a share, and they measured there was a firm at the time that was doing this, they measured the performance from the day's close after the recommendation, so there was no puff in it, for want of a better word. And the performance, the average share that I recommended, and over those 27 months, went up 87.9%. So there's clearly something in it, in the method.
Obviously.
And it surprises me more people don't do it. But it's all, by the way, I would just mention this because it's quite important for people that want to follow up. I have got a website that sets out the method. It's jimslater.org.uk. And they will get it all set out there.
Okay, let's move on, Jim, to your macroeconomic views, which I'm very interested in. In North America, I think we live in a bit of a bubble. We're not as in tune with the world economic situation as you may be over in Britain. The U.S. is fighting hard to gain some traction. Economic activity has slowed down again. What is your take right now on the world economic situation?
Well, I have a very clear idea in my own mind. I think we've got two universes. One of them is what might be called the horrible one, and the real one, where sovereign debt is in doubt. There are massive deficits. There's several states in America in trouble. the pension funds are unfunded in many, many countries, very much in this country, for example. There's competitive devaluations going on in currencies, and there's massive unemployment and overcapacity. That's the dark room. The dark universe. Then there's the light one, where everyone is on heroin, and the heroin is quantitative easing. Uh-huh. And it's very analogous to heroin, because if you've got a heroin addict, you can't take them off it too quickly. You have to keep giving them a bit. And most people, the last few weeks, we've been on this quantitative easing heroin light, wonderful universe. But now and then you get a happening, like Greeks maybe defaulting on their debt. They haven't done it yet, but they might do. And then you've got that 1,000-point drop in the Dow, which was unexplained, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And people suddenly realize that the universe they're in, this heroin-addictive universe, isn't going to necessarily continue. And it's all a bit of a bubble, to use your word.
Mm-hmm.
And they then focus on the other universe. And that's why the markets are so volatile. You're sort of looking from one universe one day and one the next.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you've got to have a third in well-chosen small-cap stocks. And I say small-cap because they massively outperform big-cap. One-third in cash available to reinforce either way. And one-third in gold-related shares, gold shares.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And again, I prefer the small-cap.
We'll get more into that shortly. Where do you stand?
What I do, I see it very clearly. I don't know which universe where. Well, I do know we've got two universes, and it just depends which one is predominant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But suddenly you get a nasty happening, and people focus again on the dark room, if I may put it that way.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And then they forget about it, and quantitative easing comes in, there's plenty of money sloshing around, and everyone thinks it's all right.
Yeah, it's amazing. Where do you stand right now on the inflation-deflation scenarios that have been debated about so much recently?
Well, I think that's simple. I mean, we are in... it would be deflation unless there was quantitative easing. It's
mm-hmm.
that simple, really.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to... I don't think Obama or anyone else though is going to stop the quantitative easing. It's going to go on.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it will end up with massive inflation.
Mm-hmm.
I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, why I like gold shares, it isn't so much. People are always, I think, make the mistake of thinking about gold by thinking to themselves that it's only any good if it protects against inflation. It's actually good in times of fiscal crisis. In other words, when they're not really confident of governments. So, for example, you get the Greek government now about to default, or nearly did default, and probably will in due course, and you've got an awful lot of people in Greece and in Spain, which is similar, and Portugal, and also in Germany, where they've seen their Deutschmark now being sabotaged in a way by the euro, what's happening in the euro, wanting to buy gold coins. And, you know, gold comes into its own in times of fiscal uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be inflation or deflation.
Mm-hmm.
If no one did anything, it would be deflation, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the position we're in. But if they go on easing and easing and easing, it will eventually become inflation.
Mm-hmm. Is that why you turned so bullish on gold last year? I know you've got a great track record on gold. You've made a lot of money in gold. And last year, you turned very bullish.
I came in originally when it was... very strongly when it was about 290, and then we sold out, my partner and I, at about 700, but I came in again then at 700 or odd.
Mm-hmm.
and about a year later, and that was about about 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
and I'm very much onto this quantitative easing, and I believe that gold will go much higher.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There are arguments, of course. Some people say the Economist wrote an article recently saying it's a fool's play and you're looking for a greater fool. But, I mean, there have been an awful lot of fools for thousands of years thinking gold's the right answer, and I think people wanting gold coins, and it's certainly got a haven, a safety haven tag to it. And, you know, when you actually look at it, works of art and all kinds of other things, diamonds, all kinds of things are not necessarily things that can be eaten or used, but they have a value in people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
And I think gold is very much in that category.
BullMarketRun.com is speaking with investment guru Jim Slater from London, England. You can check out Jim's website. It's a terrific site full of lots of information. jimslater.org.uk jimslater.org.uk. Part two of our interview with Jim is coming up soon on bullmarketrun.com, as Jim will discuss the junior mining fund he is involved with that has taken a position in BMR as number one pick, Gold Bullion Development. You're listening to bullmarketrun.com, where we bring you home run opportunities in the junior resource sector.